everyone, to the League Siege return for 2024. It is the return of our weekly show all the way through to the grand final. It is going to be a long ride this season. I'm AJ Luke Antonio, the man with the stats. Joining me is the man with the news, 2SM's Reece Sullivan. Reece, welcome back to year three.
Oh, we go again.
I'm excited.
So obviously we've had a lot of tremendous growth over the off season, which has been excellent to see. And it just puts a bit more pressure on us to keep delivering. And I'm sure we're going to do everything we can to live up to that. So I guess, first of all, thank all of you legends for, you know, supporting us throughout the off season. It hasn't gone unnoticed, I promise.
Mm-hmm.
And let's just keep on going.
Yeah, before we get into the recap, we just got a couple housekeeping things to go through. First of all, massive thanks to Dane McIntosh, our graphics man, for fitting us out with our logo and banner for the year. We are really grateful for that. Secondly, a massive thanks to our guests over the summer, Darcy McDonald and Yvonne Sampson. We are eternally grateful for giving up your time for me. It was a really awesome experience and one I'll hold on to for a long time. It's been a lot of fun this summer, but we're ready to get straight into it with rugby league, aren't we, mate?
Yep, footy's back and let's act like it.
Exactly right, my friends. We're going to kick off with the All-Stars that was held on Friday night in Townsville, the doubleheader of the women's game and the men's game. We'll kick off with a quick recap of the women's game. It was a 26-4 win for the Indigenous women's side over the Maori women's side. Jamie Chapman, surprisingly solid with a double in this one. We're playing it in four 15-minute quarters, which meant that it kind of felt a little bit stop-start at times, and we're going through a little bit quickly, and then at times we're a little bit slower. But Tamika Upton, she just showed her class in this one. Like, that first try she set up, a clever little depth kick into the in goal, and Shaylee Bent picked it up for that first try. We're at 4-0, and it seemed like the Indigenous side managed to just go with the flow. Jamie Chapman went underneath on that perfect X route. She just burnt straight through to get it out to 10-0, and they picked up a late try going into halftime. Yes, Kimberly Hunt, the commentary team on Fox, were mentioning her journey from Tully in far north Queensland, and the Indigenous side just dominated, didn't it, mate?
Yeah, exactly. It was a very, very convincing performance by the Indigenous side. Outside of that little try just after halftime from Jasmine Strange, the Maori side just really were never really in the game. You know, the Indigenous side had the best of the possession. They were completing, both sides completed a bit poorly, but the Indigenous side got the higher completion rate. And yeah, they were just outrunning and outgunning the Maori side. And the scoreline ended up reflecting that.
Kira Deeb kicking a 40-30 was more of a 40-20. Also, Keely Joseph, I thought was good, and you got to be licking your lips as a future Bronco.
Definitely. She was very strong. 10 carries for 54 meters, 13 post contact, you know, two offloads, 33 tackles, only two misses, just getting through a mountain of work. And that's something that the Broncos could have used last year. Definitely, I think, will take full advantage of this year.
Yeah, 100% agree there, my friend. Jamie Chapman, 214 metres. She is going to be an absolute beast. For the Maori side, Shannon Mato, 13 carries, 119 metres. She's just continuing from where she left off with the Titans last season. The halves, I thought, were a little bit underwhelming with McGregor and Tamara. I thought their kicking game could have been a little bit better because it seemed like they were working off their own line a lot, and their kicking game just wasn't able to match with what Kira Dib was doing on the opposite side of the field. So a bit of work to do. Of course, we've got the BMD Women's Premiership kicking up north this season. Be interesting to see how the players translate that form into the later NRLW season. So that's one to look forward to, because you've got to remember, this is effectively their first hit out leading into BMD, leading into that Origin series, of course, kicking off on Magic Round weekend. So the interesting growth time for the women's game.
Definitely. I think this is probably a very exciting year for the women's, like you've touched on. you know, these girls are going to have a lot on their plates compared to the last few seasons. It'll be interesting to see how they respond, because I think if they're getting through all the work and getting to the NRLW season and it's still as high quality as we saw last year, I think that's when the E word should start be throwing around again.
Yeah,
when it comes to that competition.
Interesting times, my man. But on to the men, the Indigenous side went back-to-back, 22-14 winners over the Maori All-Stars. The Maori started really strong. They forced an error from Latrell Mitchell. They built some field position, and Joe Tarpany kicking off from where he left off. He had that Man of the Match performance two fixtures ago in 2022 at Parramatta Stadium. Got the first try inside 3 minutes, but Jesse Arthurs dropped the kickoff. They had to hold on, and then they gave early ball to Trell and Josh Adokar. And that's the real interesting part of this game, and something South Sydney will have to take into effect next year. Early ball to Trell, get him to isolate a couple of defenders on that left-hand side. When you throw in, as I was speaking with Vonnie, you get White and you get whichever centre now goes in there, probably Isaiah on Jack White, and then you throw in Alex Johnston. It's all over Red Rover, isn't it?
Yeah, it's where Latrell's at his best, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, get him that early ball. And he showed, he picked up the try assist, you know, picked up 87 metres, 35 of which came post-contact, line break assist, four offloads. You know, he was involved heavily, and the Indigenous side in general was able to benefit a lot from those touches. And it's something South's going to have to work on, because between him, Cody Walker and Jack Whiten, that's three guys who want the ball in their hands and who want to be making the final decision.
Yep, so exactly right.
It's a challenge for South to work out how they're going to run those plays, if those three players can even be on the same side of the field to a lesser extent.
Fingers and toes crossed on that front. But I thought from the end of the first quarter for the rest of the game, it was really Braden Trindle time. I thought a lot of, and it was interesting, I saw a couple of people make some points about Trindle being a lot dominant with the footy as opposed to Nico kind of sitting back a little bit. But I think it's important that Trindle shows that he can take that next step in these sort of games, because a couple of times last year at Cronulla, there were all the question marks that Nico was maybe doing a little bit too much. So I think giving Trindle more of a dominant opportunity in a big game such as the All-Stars means that he can take a bit of confidence back to Cronulla, back to that partnership with Nico Hines, and it could mean some good results for Cronulla.
100%. It's not like Nico Hines was doing nothing either. He still picked up a try assist, picked up a tackle break, picked up a line break assist. You know, he was still getting involved in doing what he needed to do, but he had Trindle there to take some of that added pressure off him. And I think it really, like you said, it really helped both their games. Trindle was getting on the ball, being able to make the decisive plays, getting a lot of early ball to Latrell Mitchell, as we mentioned. But then also it allowed Hines to sit back a bit deeper, not make any mistakes. He didn't have a single error, which, you know, from last season was almost unheard of for him.
Mm-hmm.
And just being able to sum up the game and play the way that Nico Hines can play.
Yeah, exactly right. And he had that little chip over the top for Hammer's try. But I thought this game, obviously, first kid out of the season for some of these guys, wet conditions, you throw in 92% humidity up in Townsville and it turned into a bit of a mistake of fun. We've got to own that. But there were some good moments as well. I thought guys like Xavier Willison really impressed me. Like, there were some good carries of the ball and he got rewarded with that try at the end.
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, I've had massive raps on Willison
mm-hmm.
you know, for the last couple of seasons, especially last year when he broke through that first grade side for a few games. Yeah, 8 carries, 103 metres, 36 post-contact, 4 tackle busts, a line break, and like you touched on, that try. You know, he really is a great impact front rower, and I can see him playing a role for Brisbane this year.
Fingers and toes crossed on that front. I thought Josh Kerr, Shaq Mitchell were really good in the middle of the field for the Indigenous side. Kieran Moser was a bit of a brick wall in defence, 46 tackles. Josh Curran defended really well as well. But for the Maori side, a bit of a mixed bag night. You had Nikorima and Arthur switch around at fullback. I really thought Brandon Smith impressed, just his fitness. He looked a little bit fitter. Did cop that knock around the jaw, and I'll touch on my thoughts on Roosters and injuries when we talk about their game against Manly, because I've got a bit of a rant lined up at a certain play in the game, you know. But look, there's a couple of interesting little tidbits here. as far as some of the middle players, like Tarpane looks set for another big year. Willison, as we mentioned. A lot of whispers around Jack Alf. There was a report in the Telegraph that he's got to kind of make it or lose it year at Melbourne. He's on that big contract for a young guy. I thought he looked okay, not spectacular. Had that double movement. But I just... And also Matt Timocoy at centre. Brian Fletcher said he was the best centre in the game. But why we don't listen to SEN? Except shows Tom produces, because we love Tom as a Rooster. But any more thoughts on the All-Stars game, mate?
I'll just say that, as usual, it was an excellent spectacle of two cultures. And I really liked as well the Indigenous side with their pre-game, you know, war dance, including the Torres Strait Islander for the first time.
Yeah, I really...
of that culture.
I agree. I really liked the totem that we saw there. Definitely. Hammer and a couple others there as well. And then... So, now we're going to get on to the trials. Now, before we get anywhere, let's just get the point that, yes, these are trials. They don't count for competition points, but it's a really good guide to see how players perform. And even as we'll touch on with some of these games, the youngsters coming through. And no, we won't be throwing the could-be-anything tag on players. We're not going to do that to them. But it was a really good week of footy. It was just good to have the footy back there, wasn't it?
Oh, mate, we've missed it probably more than we realised, to be honest.
Yeah, I love sitting back and just taking some notes on players. And that's another thing that I was really happy with over the weekend. Our engagement with our notes on games was really, really good. But we'll get straight into it out of Belmore. A 24-12 win for the Bulldogs over the Melbourne Storm. Some good signs here as far as youth at Canterbury. But we also got to see that new-look halves combination of Matt Burden and Drew Hutchison. I am on record so often of saying that Hutch is the complement that Matt Burden needs. And I think we got a good look at it early in this one.
Yeah, definitely. He had a very good performance.
Mm-hmm.
Probably surprised a few people with how he played. Definitely surprised me. I figured he'd be okay, but I didn't expect him to have the type of game that he did. So he was impressive. You know, really took a lot of pressure off Burton, but then the problem was Burton wasn't able to take advantage of that.
Yeah, I tend to agree there.
That's just a little kink that the Bulldogs need to work out. Because if you're going with a halfback that's going to be the dominant player, Burton has to be more aggressive coming out first receiver, second receiver.
Yep, 100% agree. This backline conundrum is a little bit of an interesting one. Blake Wilson, Bronson Cherry, Gerald Skelton all performed really well, I thought. I'm on record as saying that I think Kiraz should play in at centre until Cherry just gets some more reps on the board, and then you can play Wilson on the wing, because I thought it was a revelation towards the end of last season on that flank for Canterbury. And then Skelton's just... He reminds me a bit of Greg Marger, doesn't he?
Definitely. And I understand what you're saying with that Kiraz idea, but taking a look at how Jerry went, does he need much more reps under his belt? Because he sort of came in and didn't miss a beat.
In a way. Fair shout. I just think that I want to see how he goes against, and this is not intended to be disrespectful, but I want to see how he goes against an NRL caliber competition, because I think once we see him go up against Rami and or Talakai, whoever they put out at centre next week on Friday night at Belmore, I think that'll be an easier guide for us at home to sit back and say, oh, maybe he's not quite ready yet, or maybe he is ready. That'll be kind of the final tick box Cameron Serraldo needs.
He definitely looked a lot better in the second half when Melbourne were playing their reserves. That's for sure.
Yeah. On and on forwards, there's a couple of good ones here. Sam Hughes, obviously a couple of us super coaches, very keen on Sam Hughes. 15 carries, 140 metres, 55 post contacts. Did have a try taken off him for a knock-on, but I thought some good signs there. Who else did I think play right? I thought Pallasa, Farmacilli, in that first stint was pretty good as well for Canterbury. And then, obviously, I had Liam Knight. A bit of a mixed evening for Liam. He's been in the headlines over summer for his pulling abilities, but yeah, he needed a bit more spray. He could have got some of that AeroGuard he sprayed in his mouth onto the footy.
Yeah, exactly. It was a very, I'm going to say, disappointing showing from Liam Knight, because obviously we saw at the back end of the last season, you know, came to the Bulldogs mid-year, thought he looked solid in his few games, but then, you know, 11 carries for 86 metres, 44 post-contact, 2 tackle breaks, which is solid, but then you're combining that with 3 errors, which is not so good.
Is it responsible that AJ's put the first mocker on a player this year? I hyped him up with Vonnie.
Look, let's see what happens. But also another player who I thought played well was Kitoni Katoga.
Good defensively.
Yeah, very good defensively. Yeah, carry-wise, didn't do too much, although he did pick up a tackle break. But yeah, defensively, got in, got looking for work, you know, missed 4 tackles, but he was really aggressive with the tackling coming off the edge. So definitely something to work on, but also a player that Cameron Serraldo should just keep a note of. Obviously, that spot's going to be filled by Viliami Kikau come the NRL season, but definitely a player who could find his way onto the bench at some point in the season.
Former Tiger as well, Curtis Morrow, good off the bench. But for Canterbury in the second half, we've got to look at their youth. 7 players from their victorious Jersey flag side last year. Josh Papali, as he likes to be, as we've been told to say it now. Jack Todd through the middle. We didn't get to see a lot of Caleb Rajab, but again, some guys in there, Joe O'Neill with that try assist. I thought Bailey Haywood, really controlled, really disciplined, and some really good signs in this nursery that they are building out at Canterbury. Sort of, we're starting to see the blueprint that Gus is laying out that we've been hearing about over and over again, this production line that we've been hearing for months, really, out of Canterbury.
Yeah, definitely. It's an exciting time to be a Bulldogs fan, I think. You know, and I think last year's success in flag showed that there is the youth coming through. But now it's just for getting them to take that next step into the NRL. I think easily there's 2-3 guys who you look at from that Jersey flag side and you think that they can make their debut this year. But you also have to put up that, you know, risk versus reward of, you know, you're probably not going to be contending for the finals this year. So what's the harm in letting them get a season under New South Wales Cup, having that season against old players without putting them in the pressure of the NRL straight away?
Yeah, and I think that's the point of these preseason games with some of these guys. You just want to see how they fare against grown men for the first time. A lot of these guys, even though they did get some sprinkling of Cup last year, like Haywood, Papali, Sua, O'Neill, they got some games in Cup. And even Jordan Samrani running for 100 metres as well. But you want to just see how they take that step from guys against their own age. That's what I was kind of talking about with Darcy over summer, how they go up against the older guys as well. So that's one to keep an eye on. But anything else on the Dogs before we move on to Melbourne?
I'll just say, you know, quickly, how good was it, you know, to see, you know, some of these younger players on the Dogs, like especially, you know, the signings they've just got. Blake Taff, we touched on Hutchinson, you know, those guys who've really been a little bit underrated in the past. It's good to see the Bulldogs giving them the chance to sort of revive their careers a bit. Jamin Salmon's another one. I'm excited for the Dogs this year, even if they're going to be a bit of a shit show. But we'll touch on that in a couple podcast time.
Yeah.
You know, I'm excited to see what these bunch of outcasts are going to be able to do.
Yeah, it'd be an interesting one. But for the Storm, all eyes were on the number one, Ryan Papenhuyzen's return to rugby league. You got a nice try, set up the other try to the other returnee, Dean Aramia, after having an ACL tear in the last trial last season. But for me, there's still a position up for grabs in this Melbourne backline, and I don't think Remus Smith and Marion Sebe took their chances. If anything, I thought they were upstaged by the ring-in from North Sydney to Ikitoa.
I think you're 100% correct. Katoa looked really solid, 128 metres, 41 post-contact, 3 tackle breaks, you know, just getting in, looking for work, whereas Sebe and Smith were kind of just waiting for the ball to come to them. You know, they both had their moments. You know, both of them broke a tackle. Smith picked up a line break assist. But it was overall a disappointing performance from two guys that should be at that NRL level.
Yeah.
Should be a class above a guy like Katoa.
100% right. And I thought Jonah Pezette was pretty good as well. I felt a bit sorry for Keegan Russell-Smith's first starting game against the grown men that we were talking about. Poor bloke got absolutely stepped by Blake Wilson. But I thought defensively did well. Probably needed to help Jonah Pezette out a little bit more in the kicking game. Only the 4 kicks to 14. But some good signs for Keegan in his first game against the elder statesman. But a lot to work on at the same time. And he knows that. I spoke to him the other day. He knows that there's a lot for him to work on. But
and I'm sure Bellamy would have told him pre-game, you know, there's not much pressure on him. This isn't some massive audition for him to try and get a spot in the side or keep his spot on the side. This is just a chance for him to go out and show a little bit of what he can do.
Yeah, 100%. And then you had some guys in the middle looking for a chance, like Aaron Penne, Kane Bradley, who's reportedly had a good summer, Chris Lewis. But a bit of eyes on Trent Loyero moving to lock with the signing of Sean Bloor. I'm not convinced on Loyero yet. I thought in the sample size we did get, dropped the ball on his first touch as well. I'm just not too sure what to gauge at with Trent at the moment.
Jury's out on him, definitely.
Very much out. I thought, like we said, we dedicated a large chunk of discussion last season on Melbourne games and the problems that were on that Melbourne left edge. Like, they all start inward and then they work their way outfield. In most cases, there's rare exceptions, like Cronulla last season. But, it's just, jury's very much still there. I thought there were some good guys, some good signs. I thought Fartilli off the bench. And we got to see little startings of resemblance of this academy that they've got down in Melbourne. Fought Tom Rafter, Stokes Mahara was good in defence. The recruit from Parramatta, Beffen Messa, he tried as well. So there's some good signs here for Melbourne and their junior pathway systems with the launch of having a team in every grade in the New South Wales junior rep system.
Definitely. It's a massive step, not only for the Storm, but also for rugby league in Victoria as a whole. And I'm sure in a few years, we'll start seeing the fruits of that come to bloom. Probably not so much this year, but again, it was great to see some of those academy graduates get their chance on the field. And, you know, some of them, like you said, did step up. I think Sheldon Diaz as well, you know, put in a pretty solid shift.
I agree.
Yeah, there's definitely signs for the Storm, but, you know, I feel like they can't get too caught up in the future because, quite frankly, we don't know how many more years they're going to have a guy like Craig Bellamy coaching this team. So as good as it is to look at the future for the Storm, we have to worry about the now. And we have to focus on guys like Trent Liero. We have to focus on Rima Smith and Murray and Seve. Because if this team wants to win, it's those guys that are going to have to pull double weight.
Yeah. Two more shout-outs quickly. I thought Lazarus Vallepu and Cole Geyer really solid in defence on that side of the ball. But we are prepared to leave Belmore Sports Ground and Thursday Night Footy behind and head across to Central Coast at the Industry Group Stadium for the Super Saturday quadruple header start point. The Knights 44, Sharks 18. We're just going to kick off here with a bit of talk about the Knights outside backs. I was really looked at as an audition between Jenkins, Chuala, Mapapalangi. Unfortunately, we saw Mapapalangi go down on that restart run. But at the same time, when opportunities come knocking, you got to take advantage of it. And David Armstrong did just that, didn't he?
Massively. You know, probably a player that wasn't thinking he was going to have that chance, but massively stepped up. You know, 2 tries, a try assist, 92 meters, 31 post contact, 6 tackle breaks, 3 line breaks. Very impressive performance from a guy that, like I said, probably would have been trying to use that as a springboard to get a starting role in the New South Wales Cup, not have a chance at the NRL side.
I was very impressed with Armstrong. I thought McCarthy Mohadrake did pretty well as well. I'll get on to Will Price in just a moment, but Fletcher Sharp, the young fullback, he had a bit of flair about him, didn't he?
Definitely. I thought he had a very solid performance, you know, good out of yardage. You know, just very consistent fullback play. You know, I think it's interesting because that type of fullback is slowly fading out of the league. You have more and more fullbacks that try to get involved in the second and third phase play less and less the fullbacks that just bring the ball up to the line. It's almost, and you might slap me for this, it's almost a Tedesco-esque.
I don't mind that. I don't mind it at all, to be honest. I'll let that slide in the preseason challenge, but there is still a halves conundrum here in Newcastle. I know people don't like to talk about it, but the more I'm watching of Jack Cogger and when he and Hastings play together, the more they seem to gel.
Yeah, I think definitely, you know, if you're talking about a Cogger versus Gamble duel, this first point was won by Cogger. I thought he had a very impressive performance. Gamble did his job. He was consistent as he usually is. But Cogger stepped in, you know, took a lot of the kicking duty away from Hastings, turned around, picked up a tackle break, picked up a try himself, you know, through some good support play. I think that's exactly what the Knights need, because you look at what the Knights have, they don't need a playmaker per se. They have Kalen Ponga, they have Jackson Hastings. What they need is an organizer. And I think that's something that Jack Cogger brings to the team that maybe Tyson Gamble doesn't.
Yeah, I totally agree there. So good signs through the middle. The Saifidi twins do what they normally do. Matt Croker over 100 metres. Tom Kant over 100 metres. Seb Sewer, we touched on him in our train and trial podcast. Have a drink every time we say that sentence in this episode. I thought he was really strong. I thought he was lucky to stay on the field after that shoulder charge to Sam Stone Street. But away from that, David Armstrong really a shining light. And Will Price, we heard a bit about him from the Super League. We had Johnny Liu from our UK side talk to us about Will Price last season. And I think he comes as advertised, to be honest.
Yeah, try assist, you know, two tackle breaks, line break assist. Yeah, for a first hit out, that's exactly what you want. Also getting involved in the kicking game. It's exactly what Newcastle wanted. It's a shame that the Ponga Road 5-8 experience didn't work out the way they wanted it to, because it was so obvious that their long-term plan was to have Ponga Road 5-8 and Price at fullback.
Yeah, 100%. Well, I think it's an interesting one.
It'll be interesting to see what they do with Price, because he's quite clearly way too good to be sitting in New South Wales Cup.
Do you think he could work as a centre?
If he gets a bit of size on him.
Yeah, that's the only thing. I think he'll have to spend a whole year in Cup getting used to the rigours of Australian football, getting more time in the weight room. Speaking of UK arrivals, we'll get to see a bit of a duel next week in Fiji for a back row spot, because Dylan Lucas is looking every bit the first grade player. We said it so often last year when he was filling in towards the back end. People just assumed Kai Pierce-Paul was arriving and thinking that, hey, I'm probably going to have this spot all to myself. But I think next week's trial in Fiji, they have to go head-to-head for a spot on that right on that edge.
Definitely, definitely. I think it's interesting because I would still lean towards Kai Pierce-Paul, just because the Knights have signed him to specifically play that role.
Uh-huh.
But at the same time, with what Dylan Lucas was able to do, and especially with the connection he has with the existing Knights spine players, I think that's something that has to be taken into consideration. And I think whichever one misses out would be perfect just to put on the bench anyway. So yep. I think both of them will be in the Knights' best 17. But it'll be interesting to see which one they go with as the starter, not just heading into round one, but also next week.
Yeah, that'll be an interesting one out of Churchill Park in La Toca. Any more players you want to touch on for Newcastle before we talk about Cronulla?
No, I think we're pretty much good to move on.
Perfect. Let's go straight into Cronulla. Now, before we talk about everything else, we need to make one thing clear and one thing perfectly clear where we stand on a matter that concerns a lot of rugby league fans. Teague Wilden should start on the left edge.
Perfect. Not brilliantly.
I'm just going to take to you a tweet from our good friend Terry. He was out there with Vossi and with Savo Dan at the game. just Terry Mortz because it was frigging gold. And someone subtagged our Lord and Savior Guru into it. Here we go. Why did we give Burns actual money? He's fucking shite. Like, I mean, Teague Wilden went off for a HIA. He didn't get too involved because of that HIA. But look, it's his first game back after an ACL injury. I wouldn't be too concerned. I thought Hazelwood and Oregon Corfusi were okay. Not spectacular, especially Oregon. They benefited so much with a running dummy half. Sam Healy and Jaden Beryl really alternated really well.
Yeah, 100% they did. Beryl picking up the try, you know, picking up a tackle break, a line break. You know, and then they turned around, put the second hooker on in the second half. It worked out perfectly. I think it's something that they have to look into because obviously there's no doubting, unless you're a Sharks fan, that Blake Braley's pretty good at football.
I think it just triggered Dan there with saying that Blake Braley was good at football.
Exactly. That's what I was going for. But no. But the thing is, there's so many more teams in the NRL nowadays that are running two hookers, even if it's just a 20-minute stint with a hooker. You know, coming off the bench, they do run two hookers. I think it's definitely something the Sharks have to be looking into. But at the same time, I don't think it's exactly urgent, if you get what I'm trying to say.
That's fair, mate. And then you look across the board. Last year in this particular contest, this corresponding contest, Atkinson and Purdue played really well. I thought both of them. Atkinson looked a bit uneasy under the high ball. Made an error defensively. He was okay, but he just wasn't doing enough with the footy. Niwai Purulu defensively heavily targeted, missed seven tackles, ran the ball 10 times, 96 metres, did get the intercept and the try assist to the other maligned player for the Sharks on Saturday afternoon in Tom Rodwell. But I just not too sure with Purulu defensively. I think he was very targeted. And the Sharks, that left edge, I think at the stage you had Purulu, Eloy was there for a little bit before he had a rest. Talakai and Rodwell, they were just set up to be blasterized and taken at a sword for most of that second half.
Yep, exactly. That's where the Knights got their biggest advantage of the game. And that's why the score blew out the way it did, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And I think it's definitely something that Craig Bellamy has to be drawing a red circle around. Sorry, not Craig Bellamy, Craig Fitzgibbon. When they get into the team meetings this week, because, you know, obviously there are a lot of players in that Sharks team that won't be in consideration when we get to round one. But if you're making those same mistakes on the players who are going to be in consideration, the likes of Kale Eero, you know, especially, if you're making that mistakes at the NRL level, you will be punished for it. And you got a taste of that in this game. It's something the Sharks need to work out before they get to round one.
Yeah, totally, 100%. And I thought Eloy needed to do a little bit more with the football. The Sharks were going down the right when Eloy's arguably, especially in this sort of game, your most dangerous attacking weapon.
Yeah, exactly. But again, that's what happens when you have inexperienced halves. I think if they had have had the likes of a Trindle there or a Nico Hines, it might have probably been different. Even if they had have had, you know, Will Kennedy playing at fullback. Mm-hmm. It might have been different, but they went with an inexperienced squad. Hopefully it doesn't impact too much on Eero in terms of how he's viewed. But I'm sure Craig Fitzgibbon would have had a plan heading into the trial about how they're going to handle the reputation coming out of it.
Yeah, I would have loved to have seen Dykes move into 5'8". I think a lot of Sharks fans have highlighted that they'd like to see Dykes move into the 6. So I would have liked to have seen that, but wasn't to be, alas. Off the bench, McInnes, even though he was starting, I thought he was really solid throughout. Williams, Hautapua, they tried. It's interesting with Tuku Hautapua. He seems like he's dropped down the depth chart a little bit. Hazelton got Simbin for a high shot. He'll only get a fine. Nothing too serious there. But for the Sharks, back depth seems to be a bit of a worry. I wasn't too impressed with what I saw with some of their reserves.
Yeah, exactly. They're, again, It's just the same question marks that we had last year with the Sharks. And they're heading into this year with those exact same issues. It's not a good look, especially when they're going out and splashing the big cash on a guy like Fadua Blake without addressing those other issues in the team, which, let's be real, probably cost them a premiership window last year.
Yeah. I remember, I think it was Bloke in a Bar, they were talking about how majority, I think there's only seven players, including Fanua Blake, that aren't off contract, that are off contract, sorry, heading into 25, sorry. So there's only seven players that have a future as such at the club. So a lot of, there could be a lot of change heading there next year. So it's going to be very intriguing to see how that occurs.
Definitely. And I think it'll be interesting as well, because the Sharks haven't been one of the big recruiters. Obviously, I know they got Nico Hines, which was a massive swing for them. But since Fitzgibbon's come in, they haven't really recruited at all outside of this Fanua Blake signing. So it's going to be interesting to see whether, you know, heading into this bit of the crossroad year, whether they take the opportunity to reshape their squad, or if Fitzgibbon's going to turn around and sort of put the boot in a little bit and say, let's stick with what we got.
Yep, 100% correct there, my friend. But anything else on this game, or are we ready to move on to the Roosters?
Shout out Liam Eason. I think that's all we need to say.
Yep, Dommy's boy of the class of 2022. He showed some good signs, some interesting moments at the back. I thought his support play was really good, had that line break. Defensively, had a couple of moments there as the last man, but I think every fullback has a moment as the last man they want to regret.
Of course.
So it's all good on that one. But moving on, Roosters 36, Manly 22. Now, before we get anything, yes, the Roosters were very, very scrappy. Now we've got that point out of the way. We were playing up against a team that had played together previously last week. I'm just going to go on a bit of preamble here. I'm only disappointed in one of those four tries, because the other one just came off our mistakes, plus they had that fluky kick for the Parlo try, okay? I'm only disappointed in the first try because I hate barge over tries from dummy half.
Yep.
Like, you got to defend that, mate. Like, and it was two of our better defenders too. You had Lindsay and that butcher that couldn't get to Sipley. On to the positives, Sam Walker as a game manager really impressed me. I thought there was a lot of good signs there with Sammy.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, so definitely. I mean, he took advantage of that opportunity to get the try. But then outside of that, you know, he also got the line break assist. He picked up a line break for himself. You know, he was just getting himself involved. And I think it is a smart idea for him to be doing the majority of the kicking. I know Keary was also taking a fair few kicks as well. But I think Walker, at the end of the day, I would say he's probably the more diverse kicker compared to Keary.
Yep.
So I think it bodes well for the Roosters if he's doing more of the kicking.
Yeah.
Probably just in general getting the ball in his hands more than Keary does. Let Keary play that role of being the game breaker while Walker be the game manager.
Yeah. Some good moments for Dominic Young as well before he got injured in that crusher tackle. Reports tonight have surfaced that he will miss the trip to Vegas. Roosters have... Let me just get up the report from News Corp. The Roosters are concerned with a potential ligament damage to his neck after further scans and x-rays revealed that today. He would, however, still be able to return in the early round. So, again, some maybe positive things for the Roosters, but that is one of the worst crushes that we've seen in a while.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, it's just, the fact is, like, we get the 99% of crushes are accidental when they're back into contact and there's nothing the defender can do. This one, he lowers the pressure on the neck and he puts his whole weight on it. And Sipley's got history. He got Simbin for it last year. I think it was against the Titans at Brookie.
I'm just going to come out and say I don't think three games is enough.
I think with loading, it's bullshit.
I think this has been the subject of a crackdown. The NRL should have taken the opportunity to throw the book at him, similar to what they did with Pat Carrigan's hip drop, which broke the leg of Jackson Hastings in 2022.
Yep. You know, even
the NRL took the opportunity to make the opportunity of Carrigan to make an example of him and say, this is what you can't do and these punishments are severe. I feel like they should have done the same thing with Sipley as a reminder that they haven't forgotten about how bad crusher tackles can be.
Yeah, that blows my mind. I'm surprised he was stayed on the field, to be honest with you. Considering what we have seen this weekend with incidents taken seriously by the match review committee, we'll get on to the Warriors game later and the circumstances of Zion Mai'u'u. But I was just mind-blown by that. So that just officially locks in the fact our backline will be Teddy, Tupou, Smith, Manu if he gets on the plane, if his missus doesn't give birth, Suali'i. Worst case, Suali'i will move in the centres and Junior Piaga goes on the wing.
I don't think that's a bad thing.
No, I've been very impressed with Junior Piaga since he's arrived at the club. Teddy, looks like he's got a bit of speed on him, but the thing that impressed me, only 24 touches of the football. Not getting himself too involved. That seemed to be a bit of a complaint last season. I think that's a really good thing. Forwards-wise, I'm starting to warm to a Tupanua-Radley rotation at lock.
Yeah, I think that works out pretty well.
Like, Satili's hole running. Like, as long as Satili runs the lines that he runs, he's perfect there. Radley, I thought, and as long as you give Radley a 50-minute window in a game, like you're playing for the first 25, take him off, play Satili through the middle, and then you bring Radley on for the final 30, that's perfect. That's Victor Radley to a T, because that way you let him focus on running the ball hard, selecting the right moments when to pass, because that was the big thing I was so mad about with him last season while we were struggling. And then this year, in the trial, I thought his pass selection was a lot better. Elsewhere, I just have to kickstart the Nafu White agenda. 126 metres off 9 runs, 63 post-contact metres. I swear, if there's some injuries in this pack, some big names might have to look at a prolonged period in New South Wales Cup.
Definitely. But no, I think it's definitely some optimism for the Roosters.
Two more things, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
Connor Watson back.
He looked good.
Fucking hell if you do. And also, the more I watch the Roosters, the more I think Angus Crichton's going to miss out.
I reckon you're right. Especially,
I thought it was disappointing.
Especially with him leaving. I think, obviously, you know, you pick your best 17, and it doesn't matter what they're doing next year. But if it's coming between players who, you know, one's staying, one's leaning, I think you're inherently going to pick with a player who's staying. It's unfortunate for Gus. I think, you know, will he go down as one of the Roosters, you know, not exactly a Roosters legend, but
he'll go down as one of our greats, I reckon, 100%.
Exactly, one of those players you look back on in that premiership winning team and you go like, yeah, he was a great player for us.
Yep, I 100% agree. But anything else you want to say about the Roosters before we go and touch on Manly? Your free chance to have a crack at us.
We're going to kick your ass in Vegas. That's all I'm going to say.
If you play Fletcher Baker, I'm confident. But anyway, on to Manly. Yes, you're playing a reserve side, but there's some good signs here. Paseka through the middle. Obviously, Sipley's not going to play in Vegas, so bye-bye. I think Burbo's going to lock down that edge spot on the back row. There's some good signs there with Ben. And then some good work through the middle, like Tarsi James. I thought Bailey Hodgson, the fullback, was busy. Jackson Parlow wasn't bad, but I still think from positions 2 to 5 in that list that were named, any one of them could be the other winger heading to Vegas, I reckon, because Talau showed some good things. I really liked what I've seen from Clayton Falalo in the New South Wales Cup, and Jackson Parlow's the big signing from East.
Definitely. I think you're understanding right. I would say right now I'd lean towards Parlo.
Okay.
Out of the four. I think, you know, he has two things going for him. Number one, a lot of NRL experience. And then number two, I think he was also the best performing player in this game. Obviously, you know, whoever does go to Vegas won't be playing next week against the Broncos. So that might be a little bit interesting to see how that match goes. And then obviously we'll see round one in Vegas versus the Rabbitohs, see how they go off that before any long-term decision gets made.
Yeah, I tend to agree, mate. Last point on Manly. Out of a potential 14, Humphreys or can come Tom?
Neither were overly impressive in this one.
That's fair.
I'd probably go towards Chan Kampong, just because you did see him make that debut last season.
Yeah.
And you, Manly have shown, or more specifically, Anthony Seibold has shown, he's probably a bit more ahead on the depth chart. They put faith in Humphreys, putting him in at number 14. He got the first shift after Carl Lawton went to the bench. But ultimately, I think right now I go Can Kampong.
He also, 14. With Humphreys, he and Sipley missed that tackle on Tupanua when he went through on that crash play as well. So
correct.
If you're just looking for little things.
That was 3 missed tackles for Humphreys, which as a hooker, that's not good.
Yeah, I thought the middle third of Manly, when we started to make some changes, we started to really open them up a little bit. So that was a really good sign there. And there was a period where we had a right edge of Wong, Walker, Manu, and Young. Obviously, Young getting injured derails things a little bit. But outside of that, that's the right edge I think the Roosters should be starting with in Vegas.
Yeah, definitely.
But we'll see how that one goes, my friend. But moving on to Nestrada Jubilee Stadium. Canberra 38, Parramatta 16. We got to see some youth in this game. Good shout of schoolboy fullbacks, Blaise Talangi and Chevy Stewart. Chevy Stewart didn't do too bad, I thought. I think there's some good signs there for Chevy. I would like to see him go round next week against the Cowboys out at Queanbeyan just to make sure that we get another look before a potential decision's made on whether he gets the nods to do in round one.
Definitely. I thought he was solid, but not spectacular. You know, probably left a little bit on the table from what we're expecting.
Yep, I tend to agree there, to be honest. Parramatta started fast, 2 tries early. Offahiki Ogden charged across in the 7th minute. Then Sean Russell finished off. I thought Morgan Harper had some good touches. Like, he looked really good. I think he and Simonson are really battling it out for that centre spot. The young half, Ethan Sanders, his first half kicking game was good. Second half, you got to see the pros and cons of being an elite NRL player at this stage of his development.
Yep, and then off the back of those, you know, worst kicks, Canberra were able to get themselves back into the game with those 4 tries, oh, sorry, pardon me, 5 tries in the last half hour.
Yeah, Danny Levi showcased he's pretty good at soccer.
Yeah, just, you know, good heads-up play.
Yeah, I thought James Schiller impressed as well. The centre, of course, there's a lot of positions up for grabs in this Canberra side. He was good. I thought Peter Holler, a bit of an underrated player. We've kind of forgotten about Peter Holler, but 12 carries, 125 metres, he's pressed his claim nicely.
Definitely. Another one who stuck out for me, Tom Starling, coming off the bench. I thought... He really staked his claim to be that starting dummy half, you know, turning around, making 7 tackle breaks.
Jesus.
His workout dummy half. So, yeah, exactly. Like, I think it depends on what Ricky Stewart wants to go with, because we know that Starling and Levi are both very much more aggressive hookers than Zach Wolford. But we also know that Wolford's probably a bit more consistent than the two of them. So it'll be interesting to see which direction he goes with heading into round one.
Yep, 100% right, my friend. I thought another one to show off the bench, Peter Ta'ateo, picked up the try in the first half to get us locked at 10-all. For the Eels, though, a bit of a malign signing, Kelma Tulangi over summer. I thought he had a pretty good game on the edge.
Yeah, definitely. I thought he was very impressive. Picked up 8 tackle breaks, picked up a line break, got an offload away. Defensively, he was very solid. You know, 2 missed tackles, which, you know, seems a bit lower than what he was putting up last year at Manly. So, yeah, I think he could be a bit of an underrated pickup for the Eels.
Yeah, we were meant to have a nice little moment with Matt Arthur coming on the field, but his first involvement, much like Christian Mapapalangi, saw him KO'd. Fortunately, he's okay, but it meant Brendan Hands had to do a lot of work out at hooker. Interesting little conundrum with Brendan Hands. What did you make of it?
I thought he played well. Mm-hmm. And certainly having to get those extra minutes in doesn't hurt his chances in his battle with Lussick for that number nine jersey.
Speaking of battles, mate, Weeks v. Strange for the six. What have you got at the moment?
I think advantage in terms of performance in the game was probably Ethan Strange, but I would still say KO Weeks likely first shot if I had to bet.
Interesting conundrum for Supercoach as well. You've got a lot of cheapies there at Canberra that could be figuratively, and we all have to spin the wheel of roulette with Ricky Stewart, hoping and praying it comes up for us.
Definitely.
But again, there's some good signs with some forwards here. Trey Mooney, obviously, in the All-Stars game. Matty Otto was good in his stint. Pasami Solo, he had a bit of a go last year. And also, good to see Danny Levi back. He had the two broken jaws last season. And also, nice for a bit of lower-grade nostalgia, Adam Cook returning. He was with Mackay last year.
Return of the King.
I played fullback in the round 20, 2020 game with the Lord and Saviour, Jared Subloo, which we'll get to in the next game. But I think Logan Lewis, outside of... No, that was Noah Martin that got simmed. I thought he was solid off the bench as well. But back to Parramatta. A lot of young kids in this side. A lot coming through their ball and flag sides, getting their first taste of open age footy. Very similar to what we were saying with Canterbury and with Melbourne before. These guys will really benefit. A lot of these guys were the train and trial guys we mentioned all the way back in November. So there's some good signs here, but ultimately they'll just benefit from more open age footy.
Yeah, exactly. And this is a great taste of them, you know, because not all of them are going to be playing round one in the New South Wales Cup either.
Exactly right. That could even start the year in jersey flag.
Exactly. So these tastes of open age footy can end up being invaluable for some of those players.
Yep. You know,
whereas a guy like, for example, Isaac Lemuleme, you know, that's a bit more disappointing to see where he is on the list.
Yeah, I think I thought Zach Sini might have been a chance at the centre position. I thought he had some good moments. Very unlucky not to chase down James Schiller on that 20-metre tap chase. Anything else on this game before we move on to the Charity Shield?
I think we're just about good to go.
Let's keep going then. Charity Shield, South City 28, Dragon 6. That first half was absolutely dross. Let's just get that very cleanly out of the way. I thought the Dragons looked the better of the two sides in the first half. There were some good moments there. Just execution left a lot to be desired. And I have to bring it up again. Is Tyrell Sloan really the best answer at fullback for the St. George Illawarra Dragons?
I don't think so, unfortunately.
We didn't get to see Zach Lomax because apparently there was a back twinge or something, Shane Funnigan was saying. So we didn't get to see him in that fullback swap that they've been teasing us over summer. But you really got to see South Sydney and particularly some of their young guns like Jai Gray dominate in that second half.
Yeah, exactly. It was excellent to see. You know, he had the likes of Jai Gray. I thought the two forwards off the bench and Jacob Hurst and Davi Mo'ale were both brilliant as well.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Talis Duncan did his job well. Braden Burns. Love seeing Braden Burns do well, eh?
It's good to see him back at South Sydney too. He's got a partnership program with South's Cares, I think, and he's also playing part-time with the Cup side, so really good to see him come back. I mean, if South Sydney get another injury or another couple of injuries, could you imagine the scenes when their two centres are Yolene Gordon and Braden Burns?
I thought that was going to be wholesome for a second, then you pull out Yolene Gordon. Like, that's the opposite of wholesome. That's a nightmare.
Could be worse. You could be playing Tane Milne.
True.
He had a good moment with that try assist at the end of the game, to be fair. But
yes, he did.
Also, Jarrett Subley with that rainbow pass out to the wing of Brayden Burns in that second try. That was some nice little bit of beauty.
Chef's kiss right there.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure the Subley family packed out the hill just for those minutes of play, let me tell you.
Wouldn't surprise me.
Jacob Gargoyle has been in the headlines this week. His suspension from the All-Stars game has been allowed. He'll be on the plane to Vegas after News Corp revealed Isaac Thompson couldn't make the trip due to some illegalities from when he was a little bit younger. So good to see Jacob Gargoyle get that opportunity to make his debut in the Sin City. He's at Dubai this time. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but he started in your program, didn't he?
Yes, correct. Correct, yeah.
Had a string of injuries, I think.
Yes, exactly. He was, you know, a little bit overlooked because at that same time we had guys like Tessie New coming through. And with the injuries he had, he sort of just never really got the opportunity that he probably deserved.
Yeah, 100%. But on to the Dragons, I thought their first half showcased what Vonnie and I were saying a couple of weeks ago, how much of a scrap they're going to be up for a scrap this year. I thought they really held it with South Sydney. But the second half, they put the kids on. And with all the talk about catchment area and how the Dragons want to develop in these juniors, this is the scenario that can happen in these trial games where that experience of playing against grown players, it kind of seems like it's men against children sometimes. And I think we saw that in this scenario. I'm pretty sure Shane Flanagan said something similar in his press conference. Yeah.
But I think there's still promise even from the younger players that the Dragons put out. I thought both the Couchman boys did a good job. Jesse Marshke was really impressive in the minutes.
Got a question for you, Marshke.
Go ahead.
Do you think that what you saw from Flanagan and Hunt, do you think that a scenario could develop where you play Marshke at six with Hunt and have Flanagan as that 14 where he started to develop that hooker role that we saw at Canterbury last season?
Not to start the season.
Okay.
I think that's something that could definitely happen if Marshke continues to perform at cup level.
Yep.
But I think for the start of the season, from what we saw last night, I don't think the Hunt-Flanagan halves combination was necessarily bad. I think they both did a pretty reasonable job. Obviously, they'll still have a bit further to go, but they've still got one more preseason game and then a whole week of training before they kick off their campaign. So there's still time to work everything out, you know. But definitely, it's an option. Obviously, Flanagan played hooker in the New South Wales Cup for the Bulldogs last year, and then was able to elevate that into the number 14 jersey for the NRL side. So it's definitely an option that the Dragons could take if they needed to.
Yeah. Just a quote from Shane Flanagan. We had our team. I thought the first half was a really competitive game. We had our team won, and then the second half, it just probably shows where we are with our young kids. They are not up to it just as yet, and they got run over in the second half. But when we had our best team on in the first half, I think it was a good hit out. There were some big blocks in defence, and both tries scored off errors from the opposition. So I think that's exactly what Vonnie and I were talking about when they are going to be up for a scrap.
But that's not a good comment when it comes to guys like the Couchmans, when it comes to Dylan Egan as well. You know,
yeah, I think obviously there's exceptions to every comment. I thought Egan defensively made all his tackles. He was 22 for no misses. I thought Toby Couchman, 17, 3 misses, 1 ineffective. Couchman, 20, 1 missed. They both bulked up over summer, I will say, the Couchmans, and they probably will feature this season. You also throw in guys like Rafe, Tyler Mariner, who Flano said will get a game next week. So I definitely think it's going to be a challenging year for St. George, but there's promise there that once these guys, these younger ones, get more consistent reps in cup, start to put some pressure on guys that will underperform in first grade, I don't think it's going to be as bad as a lot of people are suspecting. It's going to be bad, but it's not going to be 0-20 areas.
Yeah, I'm just concerned because Flanagan, you know, going back to the Shark days, never really been one to obsessively play the youth. And I feel like this is that type of team where having those younger players get that opportunity is more beneficial in the long term. Especially guys like the Couchmans and not so much Egan, but the Couchmans, who have had now that whole season of reserve grade.
Mm-hmm.
They should be knocking down the door to get into first grade. And if Flanagan's going to sit there and block that path and say they aren't ready, I think it's concerning. And you could see two talented young forwards start looking at other options, which is what the Dragons need.
Definitely not. Anything else on this game before we move on to today's triple header?
No, I think we can keep on going.
And by today, we mean Sunday, because we like to record on Sunday nights. Moving on, we took a trip out to Apollo Project Stadium in Christchurch. Gee, they got a good crowd there this afternoon.
Was there over 13,000?
Yeah, over 13,000, and we're going back there, I'm pretty sure, in round three, if I'm not mistaken.
Hopefully less pitch invaders.
It's commonplace at the Warriors to have a pitch invasion these days.
Sure, wouldn't feel at home without it.
13,760, and we're back there in round three with a home game against the Raiders.
Beautiful.
So an 18-16 win for the Tigers to Davo. We'll start with the Warriors. Roger Tuivasa-Sheck and Ali Laiatauta, are they your round one centers?
It'd be a bit harsh on Pompey and Barry, wouldn't it?
It would be, but Laiatauta is a fucking good young kid, and there's a lot of people at the Warriors that say if he didn't get injured in his debut game, he probably would have locked down that jersey for the rest of the season.
I think there's definitely a strong chance that that is the centre combination. But again, I do want to see how Barry and...
Pompey respond?
Yeah, Barry and Pompey respond next week. But obviously, one of those centre spots will be two of us Shaqs.
How good did he look today?
Didn't miss a step.
Nope.
It's interesting because I feel like a lot of people were worried that two of us Shaq going from Union to League would sort of be the same as Hayne when he went from NFL to NRL. But you have to remember that Tuivasa-Sheck was playing centre for Union. So yeah, he's got the body, he's got the speed for it. He just had to pick back up the stamina of, you know, the 10-metre game rather than rugby union where the advantage line is right at the back of the run.
Yeah, 100%. And I thought he was really good today. Tom Arley and Bunty Arfola did not miss a step. They were absolutely huge today for the Warriors. Jacob Laban picking up a try on that unders route. I thought he was really good. Metcalf, also good. What'd you make of Chanel Harris-Davida's return to league?
A bit quiet.
Mm-hmm. Six runs, only 18 metres, 10 tackles, two misses, dominating the kicking with five kicks.
Yeah, did pick up the line break assist as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he definitely could have had his hand on the ball a little bit more. And it probably gives a bit more of an advantage to Tamari Martin heading into next week.
100%. And then you got some guys on the bench. I was really looking forward to some of these forwards like Mai'u'u, Stowers Smith. But Mai'u'u just got that tackle horribly wrong, didn't he?
Yeah, exactly. You know, at the end of the day, if you're going to be leading in with your shoulder the way he did, you're always going to run the risk to make contact with the head. And unfortunately, you have to bear the consequences of that if you do. And that's exactly what happened with him.
Fortunately, Declan Casey is okay. It was a scary moment for all of us watching that incident. But some guys off the bench, Tony Tupanua was good. Halasima was good as well. Moala Graham-Taufa, Geronimo Doyle, the fullback, Paul Roach picked up a try. But I want to talk to our listeners about a particular player that's just come across from Penrith, Luke Hansen, the number 23. I thought there were some really good things in this kid's game today. One of the big ones was that try saver when De Silva broke through on that line break. We just talk about effort plays. We talk about effort, effort, effort all the time. Penrith, a system known for it. And that was such a big play in the importance of the game. It saved the game for the Warriors, didn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And it's even bigger when you realise that Hansen was at marker on the play.
Very good effort from the young... let me just make sure he gets his age right. Yeah, 19-year-old kid. It's his birthday tomorrow. That's why the age I'm fucking confusing. He turns 20 tomorrow. But and he also had a forced dropout. I think if they nurture this young kid right, he can be a really good player. Could be a really good asset there. I want to see him get up in a cup this season, see how he can develop, because he's got the game smarts. Like, he I thought his kicking game was really good as well. It put pressure on the young Tigers defense. Really good signs from Luke today. And I made up for not mentioning his name in the Train to Trial podcast. So,
well, correct me if I'm wrong here, but his deal is development squad.
It will be supplementary for next season, yes.
Yeah, exactly. So he moves on to the development list next season, and then there's the option of top 30 in 2026.
Correct.
Yeah, so for me, if I'm the Warriors, if I've made this investment, as much time as I can, I'd be locking him in a room with Sean Johnson.
Yeah.
Trying to hope they rub off on each other.
Interesting thing, too, when you had Ben Farr on the field with him as well, like Hansen really stood up and took control when Farr, being the older player, probably could have done a little bit more. So I'm really proud of the way Luke played today. Of course, Domi's boy as well, really good young kid. It's just really good to see these young guys get these opportunities in this grade. Anything else on the Wars before we talk about the Young Tigers?
Let's talk a little bit more about the two props that started in Afoa and Ali.
Ah, yeah, 100%. Go for it.
Yeah, so Afoa, 15 carries, 137 meters. Ali, 15 carries, 156 meters, four tackle breaks. I feel like both of those guys need to be playing round one. I know the Warriors fans had a very, very, pardon that voice crack there, a very sustained campaign when Bunty Afoa was being left out of the side last year. God, my voice just doesn't want to work with me today. But yeah, both of them, I think, off the bench are the perfect props you need.
100%.
And I know Fanua Blake's probably going to be playing up that 50, maybe close to 60 minutes a game, but I don't think it hurts to carry two props in that situation.
Oh, neither do I. And I think it'll be interesting to see how Andrew Webster uses his side next week. They take on the Dolphins at Go Media Stadium next week. But for the Tigers, it feels weird to be hyping the Tigers up. But, you know, I was really impressed with Caesar today. Really impressed with the way that they basically had their full spine ready to go for chunks of that game. The young center Fatape, he looked the goods, I thought.
He looked brilliant. I'm not going to do what NRL Twitter's done and dub him the signing of the year already. But definitely someone who may be a bit more unexpected to step up. Also someone who could sneak their place into the starting centres for the Tigers come round one.
Yeah. I thought Sione Fainu off the bench, really impressive. 11 carries, 149 metres. Alex Lobb, the winger. I thought there was a couple of nice plays there. He had that leap up for that try and the offload to get the try to Sione Latoavaiu. I thought that was really nice skills there. But there's a lot of young kids in this side. You kind of saw them tiring towards the back end. You had guys that they were playing SG ball a couple of weeks ago, like Willett, Mason, even De Silva, Lau Lili as well. That just showed that they're not quite at the upper echelon level yet. So I think as long as the Tigers are patient and they're willing to just work them in and through cup, work them in a first grade slowly, the systems are there. But on today's evidence, I think De Silva has to be the full name.
Definitely. I think just quickly with the pathways, I think that's probably one of the big things Benji Marshall's going to have to learn coming into coaching, because obviously he was never sort of in that position where he had to go through the pathways, because as a player,
he just got rushed.
He just was rushed straight into the first grade side. He can't afford to make that mistake when it comes to some of these young Tigers.
You know, 100%.
Some of these players that were coming in the second half this week are really talented young players, but they just need time to develop.
Yeah, and I saw that's what MBWT, the Tiger cast, and a couple of those other more prominent Tigers fans on Twitter were saying today, that they just need time to develop in. And you've still got to think, we didn't see Latu Fainu, we didn't see Lachlan Galvin today as well. They're still going to come in and have a duel for the sixth spot, because I don't think the sixth jumper's up for, like, sealed for Jaden Sullivan yet. Like, there was a couple moments today where even though he played well, there was just things he could have done a little bit more, could have pushed up a little bit more, could have given Caesar a little bit of a break from the controlling, take the ball to line. He did have that forced dropout, I think. Was that him?
Yes,
it was. Yes, it was. Sorry. But yeah, another thing too, Samuel Afuanu's discipline. Two penalties. He got cautioned right before halftime, and then he comes out to start the second half and does the exact same thing. Like, that's alarming for a young player.
It's not a good look at all. But at the same time, you do want that to be happening in preseason.
Iron out the cobwebs.
Iron out the cobwebs. Have a player suffer the consequences of their action without, you know, really impacting how the season goes on. And then you can go to him after the game and be like, right, you just have to turn it down a little bit.
Yep. Also, I thought Alex Saifaf was good in the middle picking up that try. But, Reese, I'm going to let you do your talking. Broncos 46, Cowboys 20. The floor is yours, my friend.
Okay. So, at first, I thought we were going to run a cricket score on these guys. Then we didn't, and then somehow we still sort of did. It was a very weird game, but it was important that we had our main players get a run. Obviously, we knew what to expect out of Reece Walsh. We knew what to expect out of Adam Reynolds. You know, it was interesting to see Reynolds play. I think he was playing a little bit more aggressive than what we saw last season, but I'm not sure how much of that was a new tactic from Kevin Walters and how much of that was just the fact that we didn't have Ezra Mann. So we'll have to wait to see until Vegas to see what that is. But continuing on, forward pack-wise, Corey Jensen was brilliant. Payne Haas, limited minutes, still got 125 metres. So that just shows how good he is. Piakura was awesome. Hopefully that knee injury isn't too serious because he needs to be there in Vegas.
I reckon James it's Hunt. A knee sprain.
Okay, well, that doesn't seem the worst thing in the world.
I'll just bring up what Joel Gould, friend of the show, tweeted out quickly. Where is it here? The problem is when we do these podcasts and we record them all in one take, I have 1,000 tabs, no jokes, open up. So where is my messages of Joel Gould? Here. So it's a minor knee strain. We'll go for scans tomorrow. Kev Walter said in post-match presser, she'll be right for Vegas. Scans will tell the tale.
Yeah, excellent. That's exactly what we need. He was brilliant. Jaden Hunt, I thought, was pretty solid. Pat Carrigan did exactly what we expect. Again, limited minutes, 133 metres. So let's hope that's a sign of things to come for our two main forwards. Tapu off the bench, I thought, was very solid, but not as good as Corey Jensen. And probably not as good as Xavier Willison was in his limited minutes in the All-Star game. Same with Fletcher Baker. He didn't take as much carries as maybe he could have, but his defense, I'd say, was better than Marty's. So if you're looking for that second bench prop role, I think Fletcher Baker just kind of has his nose in front for that one. And then when it comes to the reserves, Teikura was, fuck me, he's massive.
He's a big mofo.
Got that try, just because at that close, apparently that play is something Moser and Teikura have been running ever since they were playing juniors.
That's a cheat code, let me tell you.
That exact play.
That underneath play, that is an absolute cheat code. I thought Moser was good.
Yeah, I was going to get to that. Moser played really solidly. I also thought Patston had his moments, but also Tristan Saylor. It was interesting to see him come on a little bit earlier than maybe, you know, while Reece Walsh was on. He was basically playing 5-8. And I thought he did a really good job.
Yeah, I thought so too.
Maybe that's something that, you know, obviously we saw last season when Ezra Mann missed time. It was Madden that was playing the 5-8 role. Maybe this year we might see Tristan Saylor step into the number 6 if needed.
Interesting, yeah.
He can play that sort of similar role to Ezra Mann in that attacking sense. And I thought he didn't do too bad either today.
Yeah, I tend to agree, mate.
Just quickly, the two big things for the Broncos, obviously Solon Cobo at centre. First experience is definitely an A+. you know, try two try assists. Exactly what you want.
How nice is it? Sorry to cut in, mate. How nice is it to have a centre to pass?
Mate, I missed it. and then the wing battle, Oates versus Mariner. You'd probably give the points to Mariner for this one, but I'd still think Corey Oates gets the start. I don't think it hurts that Mariner play a couple more, a month or two more of reserve grade before we make that decision again. And Corey Oates, consistent as ever, 12 carries, 97 metres. Mariner, yeah. 8 carries, 96. Both good. You know, I don't think you can go wrong, really. There's not so much a wrong choice. It's just what's the right choice going to be come the end of the season.
Yeah, 100%. I think there might be some teething problems, but that starting side as it is, you'll throw Ricky in there, you'll throw Mam in there. I think that, and maybe Tony Staggs as well, and that's probably going to be your team for Vegas. Maybe Jesse Arthur's on the other flank, who knows. But I'm not too sure on Fletcher Baker. I've never been sold on Fletcher Baker, as listeners of this podcast well know. I think he can offer a little bit more. I thought Takura outpointed him a little bit today, and I know he had the try, so that probably inflates it a little bit. But outside of that, 8 carries for 90. Baker had 8 for 71. Post-contact, Takura had 37 to 19. I just think that that's something to factor into. And also, Takura, a bit more of a tackle breaker as well, a bit more of an impact-a-soil player. I know you've already got that with Heverington and with a couple others.
I feel like, though, if you're picking Willison, you don't need to pick Takura.
I've already got fucking Xavier. Keep forgetting that Xavier Wilson exists. But for the Cowboys today, nothing to be disheartened about. I thought there were some good signs there. McKaylee, Fine Fuiaki, McIntyre, Jackson Purdue going the length to end the game. Pua Avase, the 18, I thought he was really good. Mali Bintangane from Tanzania, of Tanzanian descent, he was good. Valame was good. I think he might have a mortgage on a wing or a centre position. Probably a wing spot, maybe, over Felt. And then you give Zach Labor the other centre position. Tom Chester didn't do anything too wrong in his first game back from an ACL injury. But for the Cowboys, just about reps for these guys. Clifford v. Duffy will be an interesting watch come, say, the middle of the season if Chad does what we expect him to do and shit the bed.
Or fucks off to St. George Illawarra, one of the two.
Yeah, 100%. Moving on, Dolphins 26, Titans 14. Some good signs for the Finns today, but I did think their discipline was a little bit poor in the first half. The Titans were able to get downfield. They were a little bit guilty of trying to do too much with the footy, I thought. And also, I think that wing spot's still up for grabs.
Possibly.
I don't think it's sold between Tessie and Bostock yet.
Well, I'd say advantage Bostock from today.
Yeah.
But definitely still a contest heading into next week. But it was interesting to see the Dolphins, run out of pretty much a four-string side. I know their best players only played limited minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Kafusi, Marshall King, and were all off after about 20 minutes.
But, yep.
Yeah, it was interesting to see that. No, they did go a bit more full strength. And then also their bench as well. You know, the likes of Tavare, the likes of Avarillo, who you'd expect, especially Avarillo, you'd expect him to be starting round one.
I think they wanted to see on that edge, because you've got to think they'll both be, those two are fighting for a spot on that particular edge. So maybe they were just doing a duel there between those two. And
possibly.
That's just my theory. I thought Jared Wallace was big off the bench, 16 for 133. He's got to be in a consideration for this team. And then you got guys in there that fight hard, Huebner, Simbikin, Teague, Lemuelu. I'm a big believer that Kurt Donohoe is slowly rising up the halves depth chart, maybe overtaking the MILF.
He definitely is, although he didn't really do much today, but...
Definitely more looking at last week and his performances for Fiji in the internationals.
Yeah, definitely feels like he's overtaking Milford when it comes to the top 5-8 role, which puts Milford in an awkward spot, doesn't he?
It does, and I thought the other young gun that had a go today that got in that hair pull, Jerome Burns, he was good last week, and I thought he continued on that again today. But for the Titans, there's some foundations here, isn't there, with some scrapping under Dez Hasler defensively, hey?
Definitely, and this is the B squad. This is the B squad fighting like this. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Dez has come in and instilled this culture in the Titans, obviously, that, you know, we're used to when it comes to these Dez Hasler coach teams. Yeah, just scrappy team. They didn't get many chances, but they took their chances they got. Obviously, Tony Francis picking up that double, and then Tom Stedman also scoring as well. But, you know, those guys off the bench, Isaac Fasu-Malawi, you know, Harley Smith-Shields, Josiah Pahulu, Oscar Bryant, I thought they all did their job really well.
And yep.
That score against a much better Dolphins team from ballooning out.
Yeah, they scrambled really well, I thought, in this one. Ken Mamalo, nice to have you back playing decently. Tony Francis, we hyped you up in the Train and Trial podcast, have another drink at home. But there's this young kid that a lot of Titans players and fans have been raving about, and it's the number 20, Josiah Pahulu. He was very impressive. 6 for 58, 30 post-contact meters, 29 tackles, 3 misses. Good chance he could sneak into a debut this season.
Definitely. Definitely a player to keep an eye on heading into Teamless Tuesday if he's named on the extended bench. Probably not so much for round one, but as the season goes on.
I say that because I'm not convinced on Khaleesi Haas or Joe Stimson.
Correct. Correct.
I just think Pahulu offers a point of difference.
Yeah, and neither of them really did themselves any favours with their performance today. Stimson, 12 carries for 80 metres. And you want a bag punch of Baker.
Please tell me Khaleesi had more than one run.
6, actually.
And 5 more than average.
Not a miracle.
Yeah, exactly right, my friend. But after the first week of the preseason challenge, let's just have a quick check of the ladder. Bonus point participants, of course. The Knights, Raiders, and Dolphins completed the Triple Crown. They're all on 15 points, and it's the Roosters. And so the Broncos, the Roosters, the Dogs, and the Tigers on 14. Rabbitohs on 13. Then you've got the Warriors and Eels on 1 point each. Then it's the Titans, Storm, Manly, so George Laura, North Queensland, Cronulla, and Penrith, of course, don't want to compete because they're in England preparing for the World Club Challenge. And speaking of England, Reece, we've got a brand new segment this year.
Yes, we do. Over the off-season, we've managed to pick up an influx of Super League followers. Not exactly sure how that happened. It couldn't be our reporting on Tristan Saylor or Jack Welsby or anything like that. Surely not.
Munga Blake or Tom Makinson.
Yeah, exactly. So we're going to start talking about the Super League results because obviously, first of all, it's important to acknowledge that the game is international.
Mm-hmm.
Second of all, I also think the Super League has become very underappreciated by Australian Rugby League fans. So I think it's important to remind them that the league does exist and that there are games going on.
And also, every game now live in Australia.
Yes, correct. Very important.
Of course, on Fox and KO. And there's one game every week that will be on SBS and NITV. So very good that at least we've got a crack at free-to-air as well as pay TV.
Yeah, exactly. And it's an excellent TV rights deal by the UK. Obviously, a lot of those people over there, there's a few critics of it, just as there are critics of the FA Cup going to TNT Sports at the end of the day. A lot of people in the UK love not paying shit for their sport.
Exactly right, so, my friend. Let's move on and talk footy, of course. IMG takeover as well. It's brought a lot of people back into rugby league. So let's kick it off. Hull KR 22, Hull FC 0. We've also got some word from good friend of the show, Johnny Liu. He says it's a long season ahead for Hull. No surprise considering Franklin Pele and Ligi Siao got sent off.
Yeah, it was an excellent start for Hull FC, unfortunately, with all that going on. Though somehow it wasn't even the most embarrassing thing of the night with Hull KR's Petahiku kicking 1 from 5.
That penalty goal miss, it looked like I had PTSD from Boyd Cordner's goal kicking.
That's never a good sign if you're getting compared to Boyd Cordner. But anyway, moving on to the second match of the round, it was the Leeds Rhinos picking up a 22-16 win over the Salford Red Devils. Sam Lassonde picking up a try for the Rhinos. Reece Martin also knocking in 5 goals, a couple of former NRL players there. That was also Lachlan Miller's first game for the Rhinos.
And also Roosters legend Paul Morosky's.
Yes, true.
Ash Hanley picked up a double for the Red Devils. Cade Cust, Oliver Partington with tries. Marks need 4 goals. There's been a bit of a crackdown on high contact in England. It's caused some interesting debate over there, but I think it's a step in the right direction. There's a whole bunch of changes around head high contact over there. We just follow along and put our heads in the sand because we're rugby league people and not doctors, aren't we?
Yeah, correct. AJ?
Yes, mate?
I'm looking on the Super League website.
Yes.
And I've just gone into the team list, and for some reason they have it listed by position and by numbers.
Yes.
So apparently Matt Frawley is a winger.
That's why I just go on the Rugby League Project and go from there.
But enough of the laughs. Let's focus on the games again. We go to the third game of the round, and it is St. Helens, the dominant team of the last half decade that lost their crown last season, but bouncing back with a 40-4 thumping of the London Broncos to start this season. Matt Whitley scoring a double, tries for Jack Welsby, Johnny Lomax, Lewis Dodd, Tommy Mackinson. Just a great way to start the season for the Saints.
Looks like it's going to be a rough year for the newly promoted London Broncos. Of course, we spoke with Mossy Masoi earlier last year, and he said that it always is a struggle for those newly promoted sides. And then the final game on Friday was a 16-8 win for the Huddersfield Giants over the Lee Leopards. Of course, Lee freshly recruited Matt Moylan. Their attack was a little bit clunky. I was watching this game, but for the Giants, tries to Isan Masters, Adam Milner, Oliver Wallace. Ollie Russell kicking 2 goals. For the Leopards, Briscoe and Charnley, names that will probably be familiar with our audience. Matty Moylan, a try assist there. A bit of an upset, all things considering there. Interesting one for Lee.
Yep, exactly. And then moving on to the Saturday slate, Wigan getting their title defence underway with a 32-4 thumping of Castleford. Liam Marshall picking up a double. Cruz Leeming and Bevan French and Patrick Mago all getting over the line for Wigan. Adam Kieran also getting his name on the scorers list by kicking a goal.
Yeah, some interesting things on this game because this concerns the World Club Challenge next week. The half, Harry Smith, picked up a charge for a high tackle. Cade Ellis is also in trouble for a potential suspension. So one to look at. Luke Thompson fouled a HIA.
God, everything's going right for the Panthers.
But don't worry, Patrick Mago was apparently best on ground and he was on the bench.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that.
Bevan French and Jay Field masterclass. Abbas Miski with a hat trick will be sweet. Liam Watts sent off for the crackdown. And finally, my team, the Catalan Dragons, a 16-10 win over Warrington. Abdul and Morhay with tries, Morhay kicking 4 goals. Mike McAlorum sent off in the first tackle of the second half for a high tackle for Warrington. Okay, we're not winning the league. We let Matt Dufty score.
Well, it's always great when you get it out of the way early.
True. Aaron Lindop, a try. Josh Drinkwater knocked over a goal. So we'll look forward to bring you the latest from England each and every week. But we're going to conclude with a classic. It's time for this week's LOL Cow of the Week.
No.
This week, I had two. Pretty obvious one was the pitch invader in Christchurch, stopping all momentum of your side in the last 5 minutes.
Excellent supporting.
Secondly, came from the 12-hour race at Bathurst today. I might have taken Reese's by accident, but
I'll let you get away with it.
Basically, we got a stoppage in the race because a car turned around. It chucked a Yui. It was car 701. Pretty sure was it car 701?
Yes, I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Yep, car 701 chucked a Yui and triggered the safety car with 45 minutes left in the race.
Yeah, because it got bogged on the fucking curb.
What have you got, my friend?
I'm just going with Formula One as a whole.
What have we done now?
Especially the liveries. Like, there's a few liveries that are, like, good. but then most of them are just carbon fiber.
Yeah.
And apparently it's to save weight. You're saving hundreds of a gram by not painting the fucking car. Are you taking the piss? Are you that desperate for a, you know, thousandth of a second that you're just going to leave exposed carbon fiber as your livery? Like, seriously, there's some people in the sport that need to grow up and realize that you can't blame your car being shit on the fact that it's painted.
Exactly right, my friend. Looking ahead to next week's program, we're going to have the second week of our UK wrap. A reminder that next week's UK wrap will be shorter. We've only got the 5 games as opposed to 6. Wigan and Lee postponed due to the World Club Challenge. Next week's preseason challenge matches, Souths and the Roosters, Sharks, Bulldogs. That's your Friday slate from Belmore. Saturday, we're kicking off at Churchill Park, Lataka Fiji, Melbourne and Newcastle. Then we go to Auckland with the clash between the Warriors and the Dolphins. Then we've got the Battle of the B and C grade. We've got the Blacktown Worker Seagulls taking on the Souths Logan Seagulls. I think I got that right.
Yeah, I think so.
It won't be a Broncos team, let me tell you. And then we go out to Mudgee. It's the Dragons and the Tigers. Sunday's matches, we go a bit of an old school. We're going out to Seaford Oval, Queanbeyan, Canberra and North Queensland. Then we finish off at Ipswich with the Titans taking on the Eels. So a fun week, and also the World Club Challenge, 7 a.m. Australian time next Sunday. So not too early for you to wake up, get some coffee, Uber eat some Maccas across, and you'll be sweet for your Sunday morning. Let me tell you, Reese, we've got a fun week ahead and a fun year ahead.
Perfect. Thank you very much. Greatly appreciate you having me on for a third season. Can't believe you still put up with me.
Trust me. It was tempting to find Jay Broncos here at 8 and Edge Camp, but we kept you on board by the skin of your teeth, and we'll catch you next week for the second week of the preseason challenge. Thank you, everyone.
All right, see you guys.